Morning, everyone. You're guaranteed you're in for a cracker. Wow. We'll see. Okay, if you want to turn in your Bibles to James, we are finishing off our series this morning. We've been looking at the letter of James over this past term or so under the heading of real faith. So we've been looking at what the characteristics, what the expressions are of authentic faith, that faith isn't just about expressing a belief in something, but rather seeing that belief demonstrated by the way that you live and by the things that you say and the things that you do in certain situations. And so we're just going to be wrapping that up this morning. First thing that Joel said to me, well, not the first thing, but one of the things that Joel said to me this morning when he remembered that it was an all-in was, oh, Dad, make it fun. So there's pressure coming at me from all angles this morning. So again, I can't guarantee it'll be fun, but we'll see. So let's get into it. We're going to read from James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. And we're just going to read down to verse 18 this morning. And it's not going to be a long one. I'm very conscious that it's warm in here. But I believe that God has a couple of things to encourage us with this morning. So started reading then in verse 13 of chapter 5. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that you've already been speaking to us and encouraging us, Lord God, and we just pray, Father, help us to pay attention to what you have to say to us this morning. Lord God, I thank you that there's encouragement for us today. There's equipping and envisioning for us today, even in this brief time. So from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, I pray that you give us hearts to receive, Lord, what it is that you want to bring to us this morning for your glory. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we were reading through that passage, I wonder if there was one word that kind of jumped out to you that's repeated quite a few times. Kids, I'm sure you were all paying avid attention. What was the one word that was repeated over and over again? Does anybody know? You're not a child, Lucy, but I will take it from you. No, that's fine. Yes, pray or prayer is the word that is repeated over and over again. And so this morning, we're just going to be looking at how real faith prays. Okay, so we're keeping it nice and simple. This is how James finishes off. He's talked about all these different things. Yeah, all these different true expressions of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And here he's going to finish off by saying, true disciples pray. Yeah, to have real faith, you need to express that through prayer. And so we're going to look very briefly at three things. We're going to look at the practice of prayer, the power of prayer, and the people of prayer. So firstly then, the practice of prayer. Let's remind ourselves of the way this passage starts. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them do what? Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Down to verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and do what? Pray for one another that you may be healed. So we could paraphrase what James is saying here, make it a little bit shorter, a little bit snappier, okay, by saying suffering, pray. Yeah? Cheerful, rejoicing, pray. Sick, pray. Sinned, pray. That's essentially the message that James is trying to hammer home this morning. He's trying to say whatever is happening, whatever you're experiencing, whatever is coming your way, make it your practice to pray. Can I do some audience interaction this morning to keep you awake? Make it your practice to pray, yeah? So we're going to demonstrate this through a fun, just for my son, visual demonstration. So I need three volunteers to start with, okay? So Ted, Joel, and... Come on then, Joe. Come on. All right, so Ted, you've got a red ball, and that red ball represents suffering, okay? And so often what happens in our life is suffering comes our way, okay? And we do this. You throw the ball towards me. Oh, look at that stroke, okay? Suffering comes our way. You can go get the ball, Ted. We don't want suffering, okay? So we just try to bat it away. I don't really want to have to deal with this, okay? I'm just going to deflect it anywhere but away from me, okay? But then good things happen in our life as well, okay? Gentle good things happen in our life, right? And so when those things happen, the ball comes gently to me, okay? And it comes and it goes to Ben. Oh, but the good things happen in my life, and I want to share it with somebody. I want to share it with my friends. I'm going to tell everybody, hey, I'm really cheerful. Everything's going on. Everything's going well. And then also sometimes sickness comes into my life or sin comes into my life, and I go like this. Oh, no, I'm going to take that, okay? And I don't want anybody to really know about that. I don't want anybody to see that difficulty that I'm facing, okay? But what James is saying is that we shouldn't have those responses. Joe, should you go back again? Take your ball, okay? I need somebody who can represent God. who's the most holy? yes, in the green. Yeah, great. You stand there. I want you to try and catch the balls, okay? As they come, okay? So suffering comes my way, gentle Ted. Suffering comes my way. Hey, well done, okay? Suffering comes my way, and I want to deflect that straight to the Lord in prayer, okay? And then something good happens. Yay! And I want to deflect that in praise towards Jesus, okay? And then finally, sickness or sin comes. Oh, well, imagine that you caught it, okay? And we want to deflect that towards the Lord in prayer as well. Okay, give everybody a round of applause. Thank you very much. Okay, Joel, that's as fun as it gets, all right? Okay, so the point is, whatever comes our way, yeah, James is saying, don't bat it to somebody else, don't keep it within you, deflect it to the Lord in prayer. Suffering, offer it up to him in prayer. You're rejoicing, offer it up to him in praise. You're sick, offer it up to him in prayer. You sinned, offer it up to him in prayer. A guy called Robert Murray McShane said, what a man or a woman is alone on his or her knees before God, that he is and no more. The way that we pray, the practice of our prayer, is the measure of who we really are, how we're really living out our faith. It is the measure of the authenticity of our faith. And so therefore, we need to be a people who are practicing prayer in every situation. Does that make sense? You still with me? Okay. Point number one, done. Right. Point number two, the power of prayer. Let's go back to the text. We read in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And then he goes on to give this example of Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. So we've talked about how we need to make a practice of prayer. But the question obviously is why? Like, why should we make a practice of prayer? And the answer is really quite simple. The first thing, obviously, that prayer is the way that we cultivate our relationship with the Lord. Like, first and foremost, prayer is at the heart of our communion, our abiding with Jesus. And so we should see prayer as a complete privilege, yeah, that we get to talk to God. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that, right? That we can think about, oh, I've got to pray, or I've got to go to the prayer meeting. And it's like, we get to pray. We get to speak to the Lord. We get to listen to him. We get to be in communion and conversation with the maker of the universe, who, as we've been singing about this morning, has come down to earth to save us, to make a way for us to know him. Our prayers, the very practice of our prayers, are an expression of our gratitude for what God has done to invite us into fellowship with him. So that's the first reason and the most important reason why we pray. But secondly, James encourages us to pray. Why? Well, quite simply and quite crudely, because prayer works. As far as James is concerned, prayer gets results. Yeah, when he says in verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Guess what? He means it. Yeah, he actually believes what he's saying. He's saying the prayer of a righteous person has great power. That's what he means. But the question for us is, do we believe it? Do we actually believe it? And I wonder if perhaps sometimes we don't believe it. Or perhaps we believe it for some things, but we don't believe it for other things. And we struggle. We struggle with the reality of what seems to be unanswered prayer. And even as we've been reading through this passage, the presence of praying for healing and the seeming expectation in James that when you pray for healing, God will save that person. They'll raise them up. He'll answer that prayer. We find that difficult. It raises questions in us. It triggers past pain and disappointments in our experiences. Now, this morning, we do not have time to go into the ins and outs of healing and our approach to healing, our expectation in healing, why it seems that God sometimes does not heal. It's a complicated issue. It's a sensitive one that we need to tread through carefully. But in treading through it carefully, the danger is that what we'd end up doing is treading on our faith and snuffing out our expectation that we are called here in this passage to pray for healing and that we have a God who heals. Because that's what the thrust of this passage is. Pray for the sick and God will raise them up. He will save them. The expectation of this passage is prayer is powerful. Prayer is effective. Prayer gets the job done. James is clear that prayer has the power to heal the sin-sick soul and the power to restore the sin-torn fellowship. In the example of Elijah, we see that prayer has the power to make the rain stop and the rain start again. And so perhaps for some of us this morning, we need a fresh grace from the Lord to believe in the power of prayer again. That perhaps we have subtly lowered our expectations. Yeah? Maybe we're all in when it comes to prayer as communion, prayer as cultivating intimacy, but our expectation in terms of prayer as a way to move the heart of God, to see God do the things that he has ordained that he will do through our prayers, to break into situations and change them and bring transformation. Maybe our expectation for that kind of power has diminished. Of course, the power is not in the prayer. The power is in the one whom we pray to. And so we need to make sure that we don't let our past disappointments shape our expectations for the future. And we need to be real about those past disappointments. And we won't always have easy, understandable answers that fit in a nice, neat box to help us understand why God seems to answer prayer sometimes and doesn't other times. But we're called to pray. We shouldn't let those things stop us from praying, trusting, believing in the one to whom we're praying. We are, each and every one of us, sitting on an often untapped resource, you know, when it comes to the power of prayer. Yeah, there is a power that we have been given, made available to us, that so often we don't access. You know, I've been putting together furniture over the last few weeks, and I started to put slats into a bed with a manual screwdriver. Really hard work, because I didn't think that I could get the drill like head into the right angle. And then actually I was like, I'm just going to give it a go. I'm going to give it a go with the drill thing. And I could do it. And suddenly I had tapped into this power that I didn't think would be effective for the job that I had at hand. And for many of us, we try and do it manually by ourselves first, rather than accessing this power that is available to us to bring change and transformation. So we've looked at the practice of prayer. We've looked at the power of prayer. Finally, the people of prayer. Even as I'm saying these things about the power of prayer and raising our expectation of what God will do, I'm sure that there are some of you here today who are immediately discounting yourself from that. Immediately kind of saying, well, that might be true of some people's prayers, but it's not true of my prayers. My prayers are not powerful. You know, we read a passage like this, we hear a text like this that says the prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. And we misunderstand what that word righteous means and how to apply it to ourselves. And we think, well, that just means the prayer of the super holy person. Yeah, the super spiritual person, the super faith-filled person. They're the ones whose prayers are powerful and effective. But I'm not righteous. I'm not holy. I'm not super spiritual. So count me out. We read examples like Elijah and we think, yeah, Elijah, okay, he prayed and he stopped the rain. Okay, and then he prayed again and he started the rain. But Elijah was like this elite prophet, you know, kind of all the prophets, like he's up there at the top in terms of the most kind of powerful one, the one who saw the most amazing things. He's an amazing prophet. I'm not an amazing person in any way, shape or form. And yet James in this passage makes exactly the opposite point to the one that I've just made and to the one that we sometimes think. He says in verse 17, and he heads his introduction about Elijah with this because he so wants his hearers to understand the point he's making. Yes, he wants them to see this amazing thing that Elijah saw happen through the prayer. But actually, this is what he says. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. That's his point. That's what he leads in with, right? Before saying, look what Elijah managed to see through his prayers. He goes, Elijah was like you guys. He was a man. He was just a man. Just a man with a nature like ours, and yet he saw God do amazing things. But he was just a normal guy. He was faith-filled one moment, then depressed the next. He was brave one moment, then running for his life the next. He was selfless one moment, and then full of self-pity the next. Remind you of anyone? He was a man with a nature like ours. And yet it says, he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And he prayed again and heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. Elijah prayed and saw God do amazing things. And James's point is, you can pray as well and see God do amazing things. And that phrase, the prayer of a righteous person, okay, we need to understand, what does that word righteous mean in the scriptures? What does it mean? What does James mean when he uses that word? Okay, righteous person is anyone who has put their trust in Jesus and taken on his righteousness as their own. Any disciple of Jesus is a righteous man or woman. That is your certain concrete position in Christ, not based upon your works or your efforts, but based upon his perfection and his righteousness. Therefore, your prayers are the fruit of your position in Jesus. Your prayers are the fruit of the fact that God has declared you righteous through the death and resurrection of his Son. They are, as with all the things that we've been reading about in James and thinking about over the last few weeks, your prayers are the expression of your faith in action. And so we need to hear afresh this morning, we are a people of prayer. Whether you find it easy, whether you find it difficult, whether you're seeing loads of answers to prayer, whether you're not, we are a people of prayer. We are a righteous people. And so therefore, because we are a righteous people, our prayers have great power as they are working. Okay? The prayers of Joe Travis have great power as they are working. Yeah? The prayers of Vicky Levy have great power as they are working. The prayers of Phil Palmer have great power as they are working. The prayers of Pete Milburn have great power as they are working. Your prayers have great power as they are working. We need to believe it. We need to receive it afresh. need to practice it and then see what God will do.